Mainline Protestant churches have softened and even rejected the Bible, the gospel of salvation, and biblical sexual morality. Even in evangelical churches, only about 10% of members have a truly biblical worldview. Satan desires to do to the Bible-believing evangelical churches what he did to the mainline churches, and he's made progress. Your financial support now is critical to AFA's efforts to defend and strengthen the church. Go online at afa.net/equipchurches.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Today's Tuesday, July the 7th, 2026. And joining me in studio is Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
Getting your chair adjusted over there?
That's right. We're settling in. We're going to be here for an hour and a half.
And so we're going to bring it.
We're going to bring it.
Fred Jackson, you're going to bring it, Fred?
I'm going to try my best.
Fred Jackson and Chris Woodward. Good morning, Chris.
Hello.
Chris, yeah. I see.
Yeah. A little enthusiasm there.
I like that enthusiasm.
Yeah. Got enthusiasm over here. We got honesty over here. He said he's going to do his best.
Right. And we got
that's
bright,
all we can ask, right?
And we got a bright green shirt from you.
This shirt's 13 years old. There's one hole in it. If you can find it, let me know. One hole.
That's a 13-year-old shirt?
So it's the first month I came on full time.
All right.
Went and got some shirts made with our logo on them. This is the old one.
Yeah. Looks cool.
It's original.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, let's see. Dr. Ray Pritchard's usually on with us on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but as we've told you before, Ray's, I don't know, he's having some kind of midlife crisis, and so we're working with him. See if we can get him back on the team.
That's better than last week. Last week he was having attitude problems.
He had an attitude problem. I talked to him about it, but so hopefully he'll be work it out soon. Be back in out of time out and be back on the team here. Uh-huh. No, Ray's brother Ray is he moved from Kansas City down to Florida, and then he's teaching the Bible at different various camps around the country, as he does each summer. So he said he'd be back with them with us when, like a couple weeks from now, on a regular basis. And so anyway, we look forward to getting Brother Ray on. Jenna Ellis will be with us at the bottom of the hour. We will talk with her most about the situation in Utah with the trial of the fella accused of killing Charlie Kirk.
Tyler Robinson.
Fred, was that a trial that started yesterday, or is it a preliminary hearing?
Preliminary hearing.
Okay, so not a formal trial.
No, not yet.
Okay, because Tyler Robinson could still plead, get a plea deal in this situation, correct?
Yes, and looking at the evidence that has been presented, it is hard to believe that he will eventually enter a not guilty plea.
Right.
The speculation is there's going to be some kind of deal. Utah has the death penalty. And probably there's been a conversation already between his lawyers saying, you know, maybe we can work something out here.
Right. Something to the effect, if you want to escape the death penalty, you need to plead, try to work out a deal with the prosecution, right?
That's correct.
Anyway, Jenna is a lawyer, and she's following this case closely, and she'll have a lot to say at the bottom of the hour and can answer some questions that we can't answer. Chris, before you jump into the news of the day, and we have a lot of it, it's a good thing because it's a talk show and a news show, right?
I brought in a few things.
Okay, so we got stuff to talk about. But Wesley, folks have been hearing about our tours coming up in March of 2027. We're doing two tours. You and Walker are going to Greece on the Footsteps of Paul tour, and then your mom and me are leading a tour to Italy.
Called?
It's called, we originally called it Make Lasagna Great Again Tour, but somebody said lasagna's never been not great. If I can use a double negative.
Was
so,
that Ed?
Huh? So anyway,
so
how can folks, and some folks are signing up to do both of them because they're back-to-back, and we do provide a flight from Greece to Italy. We start in Venice. For those who want to do both. So if we don't have time to go into all the itinerary and everything like that, but if people want to read about these tours and look at the itinerary, the cost and everything, what can they do?
They can go to tours.afa.net. That's tours with an S. T-O-U-R-S.
Can you draw tours out a little bit longer? You did really good there. Did you say tours?
Tours. Okay, I try to get as many syllables in there as I could.
I think that's a good Southerner right there.
You would have thought I did it on purpose help everyone, but no,
that was just natural.
That was just natural.
Yeah, that's down on Mississippi talk. Go ahead.
Tours.afa.net, and there you can find the tours that Dad mentioned, but also, too, if you're curious about some of the places that we're going to visit and what a daily itinerary would look like.
On the Footsteps of Paul tour?
Yeah, for the Footsteps for Paul.
Which y'all did this last March.
We did our first trip, and it went so well. Now, we had great help once we got there. There is two local tour guides that that live there, and so they helped us out, obviously, a good bit. But, yeah, it went really well. Great experience.
So give me a couple of the stops that you guys make on this tour.
I've told people before, anywhere, but I think it's Acts chapter 14 through 18 or 15 through 17, somewhere in there. We stop at every stop in those three or four or five chapters is where we stop. So some of those would be Thessalonica, Philippi, Lydia's baptistry, Paul's imprisonment. You got Corinth. You've got
Athens. You go to Mars Hill.
Athens is a day and a half. That's a whole day and a half.
Okay.
And it's from sun up to sundown as far as the stops that we go to. Yeah, so that's just a little bit.
And Corinth.
Corinth, yep, mentioned that.
The Corinth ruins are, you know, the archaeological dig there is fascinating.
It really is.
That's where Paul was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
like I said, the whole... we go to almost every place in the New Testament.
You may or may not know this, but about 20 years ago, your mom and I took a tour group to Greece,
mm-hmm.
and we did go to Corinth,
mm-hmm.
and there was about they locked your mom out.
I saw the pictures.
I think she went to the restroom or something, the gift shop, and they closed the gates. Yeah. Fred's looking at me perplexed. Yeah, this kid. And so
we got pictures.
We got pictures. So Allison came out and said, "Hey, they've locked me out here." So the group is outside the fence walking to the bus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is when my wife was much younger and more athletic. I'm not saying she's not young and athletic now. I'm just saying this was a different
20 years ago.
This is 25 years ago. So I have pictures of her scaling the 12-foot fence, Fred. I'm serious. She scaled it, and it was like Spider-Man.
Wow.
She came down on the other side uninjured.
My.
Yeah, it was just pretty fascinating. But she was determined. She didn't want to. I said, you know, you're going to have to get out because there's nothing I can do about it, and the bus is leaving in 10 minutes, so... she went ahead and scaled it.
Hey, one other place that's not mentioned on here, I'm looking at our online itinerary right here. We also go to the Valley of Armageddon.
No, you don't.
No, not in Greece.
No, you
I'm
don't.
I'm sorry. That's in Israel.
That's in Israel. That's a whole different country.
My bad. That's why it's not
that
on here.
That is your bad.
Yeah.
And you own it.
Yeah. I'm going through all the visual stops that we've done over the last tours,
If you go, if you're in Greece and you drop down to the Valley of Armageddon,
no,
that's a whole day.
That's a private jet.
There's no way to recover from this.
Yeah, no.
There's no way to recover.
No, we need to move on.
And that would explain why it's not on there.
When we do go back to Israel, we will go to the Valley of Armageddon. That is a true statement. Mm-hmm. All right, Chris, or how close are we to Armageddon, Chris?
Well, we're every day is one day closer.
Okay.
If the Lord carries.
Is that a good or bad thing, Chris?
Well, it's good for us as believers because this is not the end. And we'll all be, you know, doing today's issues on the Good News Network. Yeah. And I'll finally do consistently good news on a daily basis. Yeah. Until that time, yeah. I have to bring up other things that people should know about.
Okay, let's get started. What's happening?
Okay, so President Trump is in Turkey for talks with Turkey and other NATO members. One of the things that might get some headlines, one thing that's already getting headlines, I should say, is President Trump saying the U.S. will consider sales of F-35 jets to Turkey, despite attempts by Israel to say, hey, don't do this. But here's President Trump talking about the sales of these jets. Clip 12.
We have a better relationship with Turkey, and Turkey's been in many ways much more loyal than other countries that we think would be loyal. So, yeah, it's something certainly we would consider. It's a great plane.
Now, yesterday, really for a couple of days now, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been going on American news channels to ask President Trump not to go this route. But Turkey, being a NATO member, is somebody that apparently we're in talks with to sell these American-made jets.
Fred, what do you think President Trump means when he uses the word loyal?
Well, he and Erdogan, the president of Turkey, get along really well. He mentioned they became really good friends, and I guess this was during the president's first 4 years in office. You remember the pastor who was being held in prison in Turkey? And President Trump succeeded in allowing him, the pastor, to be released from jail there. And the president brought that up this morning in his initial conversation with Erdogan, saying, I really appreciated what Erdogan did in releasing this pastor from jail, and we've been good friends. So that's one aspect of this. The F-35 that Chris was mentioning there, it's been talked about this morning, is probably the most sophisticated fighter jet in the world. It has very super stealth capabilities and also has the capability of gathering a lot of data to help it in targeting whatever it needs to target. Here's the thing with Israel. There are versions of this F-35 Lightning. There are versions which contain the software that make it very sophisticated, and there are versions that the United States has sold that aren't as sophisticated. Prime Minister Netanyahu is concerned that Turkey would get the most sophisticated version of this, and that would be detrimental, according to the Prime Minister of Israel, to Israel's safety. As I think we talked about yesterday, Turkey and Israel are not on the best of terms right now. Netanyahu, even yesterday in an interview with Fox, pointed out that Turkey has been very friendly to Hamas terrorists and, in fact, has hosted Hamas terrorists. Turkey has people in their government that talk about a takeover of Israel. They had one guy, Turkish official, saying, I think I'll be the mayor of Jerusalem or something of that nature. So there's a lot of tension between Israel and Turkey right now. And one of the things that's driving that is the potential sale of these F-35s by the United States to Turkey. Israel has about 100 of the F-35s, and Israel as it often does, takes what we sell them and makes them even more sophisticated.
Well, Erdogan, is that how you pronounce it?
Erdogan.
He's the, is it president or prime minister? Do you know the title? What's his formal title of Turkey? Anyway.
He is the head of state, whatever his title is.
If my memory serves me correctly, he has made open threats against Israel.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. No question.
So, Israel, I don't know how far they are apart. They're at least, you've got Lebanon.
I'll look it up.
What else do you have? You have Lebanon between Turkey and Israel. Is there another country? I don't know. I don't think so. But anyway, they're not too far apart, is my point. They're probably 500 miles. What are you saying?
In kilometers, it's 1,284. They're 16 hours apart.
Is that like in a Volkswagen? What is that, Chris? 16 hours.
Yeah, that's about 20 minutes in a jet.
Yeah, that, yeah. So the point is, do you, as a the United States, sell fighter sophisticated fighter jets to a country that has openly threatened Israel? So we have sold jets to other Arab countries in the region. I think Egypt and
there is something
to be said. Now, you know what? There is something to be said about building a relationship with a country like an Arab country who maybe isn't friendly to Israel, in hopes of building a good relationship with them.
Yeah, yes, but my first, I wouldn't sell any military equipment to any country.
You mean to any country at all?
Ever. That's just, okay. But I'm a Southern, remember you mentioned, I'm a Southern.
Yeah, yeah. So why would you say that?
I you can give them money, you can give them gold. I would not give them, I wouldn't give any country any military equipment that could potentially be used against you. Even if they don't use it directly against you, they can use it indirectly against you.
Yeah, here's the idea. If you get into a conflict, if Israel and Turkey were to get into a conflict, a military conflict, and then Turkey's using the jets that we provided them for sale to attack Israel, then you got problems.
That's an easier one to go to. But what about the part where they potentially are in conflict with another country that has nothing to do with us and that we don't want to be a part of, but yet they're using our military equipment?
Well, could just say, you know, you could say it like this. You could say, well, we got a product, they got money, they buy the product, we don't really police how they use it in the future.
And I would agree with every product under the sun except for military equipment.
I know it's somewhat complicated, the whole issue, but Turkey is an Arab, they're Arabic people, true.
They're Islamic, yes,
And they're Islamic, and they don't like at least the leadership of the country doesn't care for Israel. And I can understand, if I were Israel, I'd go in. If I'm Israel, I'm going, wait a minute, United States, you're our ally, you're our top ally in the world, you're our friend, and you're providing jets, fighter jets, to people who have said they might attack us. Mm-hmm. What kind of friend is that? Is that loyal?
Yeah.
Because the president's big on loyalty.
And we have and it's this particular fighter jet.
And by the way, that's just, excuse me for interrupting, but this is not conclusive.
No.
Okay, President Trump didn't say yes or no.
No, we're going to talk about it.
Yes, okay, go ahead, Fred. Okay.
It's this particular jet. We've sold fighter jets to Jordan, F-16s, I believe it is.
Probably Egypt's bought some, Saudi Arabia.
Egypt, Saudi Arabia. They're, so we have sold military equipment to other Islamic nations.
So that surround Israel.
Yes, but it is the F-35.
Okay, I got you.
That Israel is most concerned about.
I got you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll see what happens there. But President Trump is in Turkey for this NATO meeting. Till when?
He's there for 2 days. He's going to be talking Turkey for 2 days.
I see what you did there, Chris. Isn't he also going to meet with Zelensky, the president of Ukraine?
Correct.
While he's there? Okay.
Yes.
Well, and the other big issue, of course, is he's really pumping these NATO nations to put more money on the table. And they actually announced this morning that they are going to go through and put 5% of their GDP into military equipment.
Well, he's right on that.
Yeah.
President Trump, I mean, he came into his, this goes back to his first administration. Right. He's tired of the United States putting all the bill for NATO. Yeah. And NATO is supposed to be European countries, including Turkey, which you could argue, I guess it is a European country, although it's kind of between Europe and Asia. So, and it's in the Middle East. But, you know, it's not fair for the United States to have, you know, carry all the cost and risk for providing defense for NATO against primarily Russia. Mm-hmm. That's a situation. So he's been right about that. President Trump has been right about that to demand that NATO countries, you know, pony up at least 5% of their budget to help pay offset the cost of all this.
And Trump he's kind of irritated with some of these NATO nations right now.
Yeah.
You know, he was.
He didn't get irritated much though.
It's going to get worse, guys.
It's going to get worse.
You get older,
you get more ornery.
That's what okay. He said several times during the opening news conference this morning, hey, I didn't need these NATO nations like Britain, Italy. I didn't need them to help us in Iran, but it would have been nice if they offered to help. Remember, they right away, they said, no, it's not our fight. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be involved with this. Maybe when it's all over, we'll come down and help you out. So there's a lot of tension going into this two-day NATO meeting between Trump and these NATO countries.
Britain might want to help out now because Iran has started going after commercial ships again in the Strait of Hormuz, and a British vessel was hit.
Color me shocked,
yeah,
Chris.
I know. This just in.
So Iran's... shooting it at merchant ships again?
Right. If I was Fox News, I would have breaking news underneath me. Israel or Iran attacks ships in Strait of Hormuz.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of the show on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Wesley, Fred, Chris. Go ahead, Chris.
Let's keep it with Israel for just a moment because former Clinton and Obama staffer, as well as former congressman and Chicago mayor Rahm Emanuel, he's going to be giving a speech tomorrow in Tel Aviv, one of the big cities in the nation of Israel. And Rahm Emanuel, according to the Associated Press and a number of other news outlets, say that Rahm Emanuel is going to really tear into Benjamin Netanyahu tomorrow in his speech and blame him for a lot of Israel's problems and those in the rest of the world. Rahm Emanuel, interestingly enough, is a Jewish man. I'm not sure where he is religiously, but his ethnicity is Jewish. So you've got a Jewish man going to Tel Aviv to rip the current prime minister in the nation of Israel.
Israel has political divisions just like any other country, like we do, you know. So not everybody's a fan in Israel of Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister. Of course, they have a parliamentarian form of government. Mm-hmm. It's not like our government. It's like Canada's, right, Fred?
Yeah.
Basically. Mm-hmm. And Great Britain's. I mean, so they can change leaders. They don't wait for, quote, election day necessarily on a calendar for every 4 years. They can change political leaders in a matter of a month or two, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if so... anyway, we'll see if Benjamin Netanyahu, how much longer he remains the...
I think this speech tomorrow from Rahm Emanuel, it said that he would, he's considering running for president in 28, but it's part of a larger story that the Democratic Party, and yes, some in the Republican Party, are arguing that the United States needs to back away from its relationship with Israel. It needs to ease up. Rahm Emanuel, apparently in this speech tomorrow, is going to say we need to stop giving money to Israel.
He's going to do that in Israel?
He's going to do this in his speech to Tel Aviv.
Well, I know Prime Minister Netanyahu said, a couple months ago, we want to get in a situation where we don't have to have financial aid from the United States. Listen, we the United States give foreign aid and assistance all over the world.
We do.
Don't remind me.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry,
but I understand the sentiment. No more foreign aid, and we are broke, so to speak, in America. But there are times when foreign aid serves a good purpose, I think, in keeping world peace, or makes it a lot more likely to have world peace. Listen, I don't like the fact that we live in a world that bribery is part of it, but it has been since the dawn of man, and sometimes bribery works to keep a greater evil from happening. For example, we give a lot of money to Egypt. Uh-huh. Why do we give money to Egypt? Well, you keep the Suez Canal open. you remain friendly to the United States and you don't go to war with Israel. Here's your check.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Uh-huh. So personally, I'm for that. Some people may be against that. In principle, I would say, no, we don't need to pay people to do the right thing. But I'm just saying, in the real world, sometimes that has to be done. We will take a break from for our bottom of the hour break. Jenna Ellis will be with us, and we'll talk about the situation with Charlie Kirk's accused assassin when we get back from the break.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Sir Christopher Wren, the builder of St. Paul's Cathedral in London, was a famous architect of the 17th and 18th centuries. Once he was building a church building in London when he was severely criticized by a group of jealous architects. He was told that his type of architecture would not support the massive roof he was putting on the building. After much debate and Sir Christopher's insistence that his architecture would easily support the roof, the officials ordered Sir Christopher to put in additional supporting pillars. Sir Christopher, reluctantly and insisting that they were not needed, did as he was ordered. Here was the story of a genius in his field who was forced to go against his own conclusions because of the envy of his competitors. Funny sometimes, the way jealousy gets into our system. Someone can do something just a little better than we can. Someone gets recognized as being just a little more capable than we are. Someone rises above us and we seek to pull them down. It seems that if Sir Christopher had found a new way to support a roof, that his competitors would rejoice with him and learn from him. But such wasn't the case. They turned against him, scorned and laughed and ridiculed him, and sold the public a bill of goods that his way just wouldn't work. There are many cases like that in history. Someone comes along with something new, different, better, and we unloose our jealousy on him. We are so self-centered that we'll not allow ourselves to recognize greatness when it comes. Rather than paying tribute to greatness, we attempt and often succeed in pulling the other person down. Galileo knew something about this. And they treated the fisher of men that way, you know. He came with a new way, a more excellent method, a clearer revelation of what God was like, and his fellow counterparts sought a way to destroy him. He won the hearts of a few men, but men in his profession turned against him. He was doing something new, something that he knew would work. He had full confidence in himself and in his work, but jealousy burned in the hearts of the recognized religious leaders. They sought to destroy him. Rather than listen to what this man had to say and see if it was true or not, they closed their ears and would not hear his message, and, prompted by jealousy and selfishness, set about to get rid of him. He was a threat to their position. Let someone get in front of us, and rather than joining them, we try to pull them down. But life never lets anyone climb higher by pulling another down. Well, 50 years after Sir Christopher had finished the church building, some painters were doing some repair work on the church. It was then discovered that the additional pillars that Sir Christopher placed in the building missed the roof by 2 feet. Greatness cannot be destroyed by jealousy. Greatness is always at least 2 feet taller.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Hello, everyone. Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We are going to Italy in March of 2027. We're also going to Greece in March of 2027. And we're doing those tours back to back if you want to do both of them. In Italy, we'll be going to Venice, we'll ride the gondola and see all the sights there. And we'll go to Pisa and walk on the Leaning Tower of. If you fall off, we're not responsible.
Also, we're going to Rome and see the Sistine Chapel and the Colosseum and all the catacombs. We'll see all the sites of Rome. And in Greece, it's the Footsteps of Paul trip. So the places where Paul went in the Bible mentioned in Greece. If you want information on any of these tours, go to tours.afa.net. Tours.afa.net. Tours.afa.net.
But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. James 1, 22 through 24.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim with Wesley, Fred, and Chris. And we're joined now by Jenna Ellis. Jenna is on American Family Radio each weekday morning from 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time with the program Jenna Ellis in the Morning, and she's also host of the weekly on-demand podcast that you can find on AFR.net. Jenna, good morning to you.
Good morning. Great to join you guys.
Now, are you in Colorado or Florida?
I will be in both today because I'm in Colorado currently, but heading home today.
I got you. Well, how's the fam?
Really good. It was great to be here. I got to bookend with being here for Father's Day and then also America 250, 4th of July. All so right. Great time with my family.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Let me ask you this. One state away from you is the preliminary hearing, not a formal trial yet, of the accused assassin of Charlie Kirk, your friend, your personal friend, Charlie Kirk. The guy's name is Tyler
Robinson.
So have you been following this, Jenna?
I have, yeah. And I talked about it this morning on my show as well, and we'll be keeping up with it throughout the week.
I did get that right. You and Charlie Kirk were personal friends, right?
Yes, and I'm glad you clarified that I'm not personal friends with Tyler Robinson. I was personal friends with Charlie Kirk, and yeah, had worked with him closely on several projects, and actually, when he and Erica first started dating, I met her as well, and kind of got to see that whole relationship blossom.
Okay, tell us what happened yesterday in the courtroom.
Yeah, so what listeners really need to understand, despite what all of the peanut gallery on social media is commenting, this is not a mini trial. It's not a show trial. It is part of due process that when an individual is charged with a felony and it doesn't go through the grand jury process of presenting evidence and then having an indictment that the jury found there was probable cause to return an indictment. These were charges that were filed directly by the prosecutor. So the defense has the right to what's called a preliminary hearing, which is simply to establish that the prosecutor has probable cause to move forward with the charges of the defendant, which in this case includes aggravated murder that could carry the death penalty as a sentence. And so this is just about finding probable cause, which is a very low threshold on the spectrum of proof. If you have zero proof all the way to 100%, probable cause is just over a reasonable suspicion, which is what police officers have to have when they pull you over, for example, in your vehicle. So this is about the judge, not a jury, determining that there is probable cause to bind over or force the defendant to then defend himself at trial. So This is a very low threshold, and all that has happened so far is that the prosecution has put on witnesses and some video evidence that the defense can cross-examine to show that they have probable cause, and I think they'll be able to do that easily. From the defense's perspective, this is an opportunity for them to basically test the evidence and maybe try to poke holes at some of this at trial. So, for example, one of the key things that I thought was interesting from yesterday's hearing was that the defense established that students, any student, can carry at UVU, unlike some other college campuses. So just the mere fact that Tyler Robinson was present, and if the prosecution can establish he was carrying a firearm, doesn't necessarily put him in a different posture than any other regular student. And so then the prosecutor would have to show, obviously, that he's the one that had the intent, actually pulled the trigger, and that's a little bit higher than just, well, you know, he's the only one on campus with a firearm. So all of those things, some of the videos, some of the testimony of the police officers that were there, security that responded, that's what's coming out at trial. And I would encourage everyone listening to not just listen to what the mainstream media is saying about this, especially some of these commentators that may not have a background in criminal law and actually understanding the purpose and the nature of this hearing and some of the judges' rulings. So, for example, as well, there was a lot of commentary on social media saying, well, the judge isn't allowing some of this evidence that is being discussed at the preliminary hearing to be published or viewed on the live stream. Well, that's for the purpose of not potentially tainting the jury pool later, because the audience here is not the public. Yes, there's a huge public interest. That's why there's cameras in the courtroom. But the primary responsibility of the judge, other than making a determination on probable cause, is to protect the due process rights of the defendant. And so there's no reason to publish that to the public yet. And the judge even said, you know, we'll publish this when it's actually admitted into evidence under the rules of evidence at a trial. So there's rationale. This isn't some big cover up. It's not, you know, the judge that's colluding with the prosecutors, like some people are saying. This is the process in the courtroom, and a lot of people who are commenting on social media just simply don't have the background. And I've been a prosecutor and a defense attorney in the criminal law world. I've done preliminary hearings both as a prosecutor and a defense attorney, and this is just standard practice.
Fred, Jenna, Fred here. What is being played this morning video-wise, you mentioned video. There was a video shown of the actual impact point of the shooting, shown to the judge, shown to the prosecution, shown to the defense. The public didn't see it. But what the public did see was the judge flinching as he watched the bullet making its impact. So that is out there in the public. What kind of impact can that have?
Well, I saw that video, and it's a human response, right, to see a murder live on video. I mean, often we don't have that kind of video evidence, but, you know, Charlie's life was taken when, you know, there were thousands of people attending on various cameras, on people's phones, and also security cameras. And so to see that is just honestly horrific. And I'm sure that's not the first time the judge has seen that. I've seen some of the videos that were circulating around social media, and they were awful, and I flinched in the same way. And so I think what the public is going to take from that is that this was a totally heinous murder. There's no justification for it. There was just simply hatred, and it's downright evil. And I hope that the public is going to focus more on justice for Charlie and his family than they are anything else in some of these wild conspiracy theories.
What about the fact Tyler Robinson turned himself in 2 days after this? He turned himself in. I mean, what does that say about the accused?
Well, that says that the prosecution has a pretty ironclad case for guilt in this case. And I don't think it will be a surprise to anyone if and when a jury returns a verdict of guilty. At this point, mainly the defense is likely trying to simply not have the death penalty instituted and try to find some kind of mitigation to those aggravating factors. All of that, the confession and, you know, turning himself in, the note that he wrote to his roommate, that the prosecution has as evidence. I mean, all of that will come in to establish not only intent beforehand. You know, this was not obviously self-defense or any of those kind of common defenses. And this is going to establish guilt. And so the defense here likely is simply going through the motions of everything that they are doing to try to mitigate the aggravating factors here to try to take the death penalty off the table.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Wes Siegfried, and Chris and Jenna Ellis is joining us. We're talking about the trial. Well, it's not a trial yet. It's a preliminary hearing.
A hearing
that involving the Tyler Robinson, the accused assassin of Charlie Kirk, and what went on in the courtroom yesterday. There was some reports that Tyler Robinson was laughing at some point. I found that appalling.
I saw the video that I saw that referenced him laughing. I didn't see it.
Oh, you didn't see him laugh? I didn't see it either. I just read about it, so maybe he didn't. But I read somewhere where he was. You know, on a situation like this, Jenna, and then Chris, you can comment on this. I know people are going to say, "Well, Tim, don't be so dumb and naive." Okay, well, you know, I'm rarely called dumb and naive. I mean, I get it at home. From time to time, but other than that, I'm just
well deserved, probably.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm just kidding. I don't get called dumb and naive at home. All right, so Ed does, though. He told us. But he's used to it. He said, "All right." So here's the situation, Jenna. A guy like him, Tyler Robinson, I mean, the evidence that we've seen so far says guilty of sin, okay? Somebody like him, he did this as a cause, right? He was doing the world a favor. If he's guilty, again, I'll put that in there, alleged. But his motivation seemed to be to take Charlie Kirk out to stop his
rhetoric.
Comments.
I mean, so Tyler Robinson, he was on a mission to stopping what he saw was a evildoer. Okay, so in that situation, you've accomplished your mission by killing the man, Charlie Kirk. Why wouldn't you just say, "Yeah, I did it"? And I'm proud of it because it needed to be done, and I'm willing to pay the price, whatever it cost me, because what I did helped the world. So, I mean,
right?
Am I overthinking this thing? Go ahead, Jenna, comment on that. Maybe he'll do that.
You know, I mean, that would be more consistent with the worldview that he apparently told to his roommate and all of those things, but. But clearly, you know, he at least according to the prosecutor's evidence, you know, he ran away from the crime scene. He tried to hide the gun. I mean, he wasn't wanting to take responsibility even at the very beginning. But one of the things that I learned as a prosecutor that, you know, has kind of always stayed with me is that when you see some of these absolutely just unfathomable evil crimes, and it's really hard, honestly, being a prosecutor because you are just around the most evil people who commit the most atrocities imaginable by human beings. There's no way that a normal, rational, moral, reasonable person, because we all have the law of God written in our hearts. I mean, even if we're not Christians, human beings in general know the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. There's no way to explain how these people can commit these atrocities and then don't take responsibility for it or don't exhibit some kind of remorse, but it's because they are not thinking the same way that we are. They don't have the same moral compass. They don't have the same view of right and wrong, good and evil. And you're absolutely right that if Tyler Robinson were actually consistent in his worldview, he would take responsibility. He would stand up before the judge and say, "I thought I was doing a public good, that, you know, this person, Charlie Kirk, was spouting hatred according to me.
Right.
And I'm glad that I got rid of him." But of course he's not doing that because self-preservation kicks in and he wants to retain his life, even though he was willing, allegedly, to take Charlie Kirk's life. And that's the problem with evil, is that it is never, ever consistent, because Tyler Robinson still, while fighting for his own life, actually does understand the value of life. And that's the most hypocritical part of it, is that he was willing to take Charlie's life, take him away from his wife and his children, but now he is still not taking responsibility for that and trying to preserve his own. And that's why I think, overarchingly, he deserves the death penalty if and when he's convicted, because a life for a life is exactly what the Bible calls it.
Well, if he's guilty and he doesn't, if he confesses and says, well, I can cut a plea deal here, I don't want to, don't execute me if I confess to the, that would be, sounds like to me, that would be his best route to go. If he wants to,
I doubt the prosecutors will do that.
If he wants to live. If not, they would want to say no. You're saying the prosecutors would not accept that. They would say no. Mm-hmm. We've got a...
Yeah, I don't think the prosecutors are offering a deal here. They're going for the death penalty, and... generally, every state has a victim's rights amendment, and I'm sure that his parents and Erica have given their opinion to the prosecutor, who's taking that into consideration, doesn't have to go with that, whatever their opinion is. We don't know that, but the prosecutor has said from day one, Utah's prosecutor's office has said that they're going to seek the death penalty because of how public and heinous this crime was. So I don't think they're even offering a plea agreement. So the best case scenario is that he would just plead what's called open, meaning open sentencing. And then it would be up to either a judge or jury. I'm not exactly sure how Utah's criminal code in the county system works in that. Yeah. In that scenario, but then it would simply be arguing for the sentencing, which frankly sometimes is actually in the best interest of the defendant to do what's called pleading open, because then you don't have the judge and the jury seeing the entire scope of the evidence, already having in their mind how heinous this crime is before they go to sentencing. You only have the sentencing part of it. So it wouldn't surprise me if before it gets to trial, Tyler Robinson ends up simply pleading guilty and going to sentencing on the death penalty.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jenna, what's coming up tomorrow morning on Jenna Ellis in the Morning?
Well, we're going to be talking about Graham Plattner and the continued hypocrisy of the Democrats, who simply, you know, me too their candidates, whether, you know, valid or not, just to get them off the ballot. That's a topic that's been interesting. We're still going to be covering Charlie Kirk's the preliminary hearing in this case. And, you know, we'll see what else happens. We're still in the midst of production meetings.
All right. All right, Jenna, take care. Safe travels back home. See ya.
Thank you so much. Thanks, guys.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Jenna Ellis. Joining us from Colorado, Tim, Wesley, Fred, and Chris. Wesley, you and Chris weigh in here. You go first. What do you think about what we just discussed here?
I can't help but to think about, with listening to the preliminary and reading what we read and talked about in the show prep this morning, I can't help but to think back to those 2 and 3, 4 weeks where over half of social media was made up of some people on our side, some people not, made up of, this is not Tyler Robinson, this is a hoax, he was the fall guy, he had nothing to do with it, all that, and then that spiraled out of control to a whole other different types of conspiracy theorists. Mm-hmm. that Israel had something to do with it, and then the FBI, they blame Cash Patel had something to do with it, all this, and here we are. I always remember things like that, like, are those people, and one day if we have to, we can get a list of them. I don't have them off the top of my head.
About there were people on the conservative side who were making up these conspiracy theories.
Yeah, are they every, like, where's the accountability here on those people's part? Go ahead.
Yeah, that's the thing that we have to watch right now. There are a lot of people out there, and this has been the case for a long time, centuries, but especially in the last few years. There's a lot of people in the podcast realm and in other forms of media that have made a business for themselves preying off the fear, anger, and ignorance of people on things. And there are podcasters that are pretty much out there that have blamed everybody except for people from Atlantis and Wakanda for the death of Charlie Kirk.
Well,
and they're never going to back down from those things.
Okay, I'm just going to give my opinion here, okay? And my opinion's a majority opinion. This guy's guilty of sin, okay? That's He's got caught.
Wait, turn himself in.
That's
a good start.
He hasn't said, hey, I was on vacation in Boston.
Yeah.
You can check it. I have an alibi. He hasn't said that, right? He hasn't said, you know what? I did this because somebody paid me to do it, and I thought I'd cash out. Now, he hasn't said that yet. So that would have been discovered by some media journalist. So I think it sounds like to me it just is as plain and simple as what it appears to be. And this guy was just deranged, and he had a hatred for Charlie Kirk for political reasons, and he knew he was coming to a town near him, and he said, "Well, I'm going to kill a guy. I'm gonna assassinate him and get rid of him." And that's what happened. He got caught. So that's what I think happened. But of course, that hasn't been proven yet. But that's what I think happened. Go ahead.
Here's what I find troubling. Tyler Robinson's story seems very similar to the guy who's been charged with assassinating the CEO of United Healthcare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Luigi Mangione.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Same thinking that we're seeing. You know, I'm doing the world a favor,
right?
Because these big insurance companies are really bad, so I'm going to take it upon myself.
Yeah,
you know, that's where the allegation being made. I remember when Mangione first appeared in court, he had a fan club. People came in.
That's sick.
Cheering him. But we're also seeing it in other venues. There was another one, I think they're calling them takeovers. A bunch of people get together and take over an area. There's something happened in Raleigh, North Carolina, just a couple of days ago. And people started shooting each other. Mm-hmm. This idea that I have a right to take other people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and it has something to do with, and I think Jenna may have touched on this, the value of human life, but also the egos that are manifesting themselves out there, that I'm going to be the savior of the world. I'm going to assassinate somebody.
Well, also, if this had been a left-wing activist, Charlie Kirk was considered a right-wing activist.
Mm.
Although I would consider Charlie Kirk, I don't know. I'm just saying that's how the world describes it. I would say he was conservative and a Christian, and he was teaching on worldview and trying to challenge people's thinking. I mean, he was open to debate and discussion. That's the thing. That's what he was doing on his college campuses. He wanted to debate issues, okay? Uh-huh. But if this would have been a left-wing Charlie Kirk type, and he would have been assassinated, or she would have been assassinated like Charlie Kirk was, you talk about the news media and the left-wing pop culture world, they would be all over there. They'd be saying, "Oh, see what right wingers do? They're a threat to democracy. They kill people."
They would want to change policy and legislation and everything.
We'd have a holiday.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So anyway, we'll see what happens with the rest of this case. But this is a preliminary hearing. Go ahead, Chris. Next story.
Well, grocery prices may be falling at various retailers. Some stores are already already announcing lower prices.
Have you checked strawberries or cornflakes or anything, Chris, to make sure this is happening?
Well, in across various sectors, there are prices coming down due to the fact that gas has become cheaper in recent weeks, although that could go up again if this conflict with Iran continues. Walmart has announced some price cuts. I've got the story. I'm going to share it on our Today's Issues Facebook page. But Walmart is lowering the price on various things, including ground beef and various other staples. President Trump is taking the credit for this. He called Walmart a truly patriotic company, but said he was in talks with Walmart, and they have agreed to lower prices per his instruction.
On ground beef?
On ground beef and other staples.
Did he get to, what about Vienna sausage?
Well, those are already, well.
No, I'm talking about, did Trump negotiate with Walmart on bringing down the cost of buying a sausage?
I cannot confirm or deny it. It is possible. It is possible. Likely is another question. But he did say that he talked to them about meat.
It's funny, the announcement from Walmart on these price cuts did not mention Trump.
No, it did not. It did not.
So, well, the story is that President Trump said on Monday, at his administration's request, Walmart was set to reduce grocery prices, calling it a patriotic, truly patriotic country.
Stepping up in a big, bold way.
Oh, how big a way?
Bold. And other retailers.
You know what, Chris? I would say nobody's ever seen anything like it.
Yes.
It's huge.
Trump's trying to make Walmart great again.
Raise your hand if you like Vienna sausage.
It's good on a cracker with some hot sauce.
Yeah, I haven't eaten any in a while, but I grew up on those things.
Yeah. Huh?
Somebody call them Vienna.
I don't know what they're made of.
You probably don't want to know.
Great R meat.
I don't know what they're made
mystery
of.
Mystery meat.
I'll look into it and come up tomorrow with an analysis.
Wes, you know what? When was the last time you had a Vienna sausage?
I was 10 years old in the woods. And
saltine
I've never
cracker, hot sauce.
Had one and never again.
You're not a big
fan? One and done.
Okay.
You can't grill them up, fry them. Okay. You can't. There's nothing you can do with them. There's nothing.
Just pull them out of the can and let them slide down. We'll be back momentarily.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.